Evidence and Answers begins right now.
This is Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukran. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. Is the Bible history or just religious myth? In this series on archaeology, Brian Nixon of Paradis, a ministry of Veritas International University, joins Dr. Pat Zukran, who explains how biblical archaeology provides concrete evidence for the people, places, and events of Scripture, and why Christianity stands apart as a historically grounded faith. He'll also share how archaeology has played a pivotal role in strengthening his own confidence in the truth of the Bible. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, log on at evidenceandanswers.org, and there you'll find this discussion entitled An Introduction to Biblical Archaeology. Plus, you'll also find hundreds more podcasts that you may download or listen online. Now let's get right into the conclusion of this interesting and fascinating topic.
The kind of tools you'll be using is shovels and trowels and various brushes as you dig. You're literally scraping off the top and going down. It's not something that you just drill down. You got to be very careful as you go down because there's artifacts and parts of buildings and temples that you might hit. And when you find artifacts or a significant marker, you know, you call your square supervisor over and they'll come and examine and see what you find. And some important discoveries include pottery. You know, pottery is the most important because it's everywhere. Everybody uses pottery, but it's the most accurate way of dating here, the most accurate method of dating. Coins are very accurate, but they're a lot more rare. You know, jewelry, bones. When you find artifacts like that, you call your supervisors over and say, hey, we got something important here, and they'll take a look at it. You're looking for parts of monuments, you know, like a wall, maybe part of a fortress wall or the foundation, a floor, an altar. And then you're looking for vegetation, you know, like seeds and corn. Maybe you hit a kitchen or a cooking area. And then you're looking for other things like burn levels. You know, maybe the city was destroyed by fire, and so you're at a particular burn level where the city was burned down. And so the discoveries are photographed, drawings are made, because once you excavate a site and you take the artifacts to the warehouse, that it's gone forever. So you need careful documentation of where you found things and what it looked like. And, you know, at the end of the day, you have buckets of pottery sherds and artifacts and tools. And so the whole team comes together and you wash all your discoveries. Yeah, you label and group them, and they're taken to the warehouse for storage. So that's kind of the grind of everyday archaeology out there.
That was a great overview. And what's fun, Pat, of course, as you know, I was able to excavate with you with VIU's North American site, what we call KZAP. And that was actually my first excavation. So it was fun for me to watch all of this transpire as it unfolded. And you're exactly right. I was assigned a square. I normally just became the dirt pusher, you know, picking up what you guys were doing. But I was really impressed with the amount of pottery sherds and everything else that was going. And of course, as the KZAP excavation continued here in the States, that I started to, you know, get the trowel and shovels and started to dig layer by layer. And I actually found some things as well. So there's an excitement to it where you do call everyone over and they look at it and everyone weighs in on it. And your square supervisor is documenting everything. So it's a lot of hard work, but it is also very, very exciting. And you just gave a great summary of that. Well, Pat, one of the things is, you know, when we talk about biblical archaeology, it's just another avenue to demonstrate that Christianity is comprehensive. As you already alluded to, it involves the Bible, it involves science, it involves the art, it involves history. It really gives us this broad big view, not only of the Bible, but of culture in general. So how does archaeology really help accomplish this holistic, this very broad view of the Christian faith and culture?
Yeah, that's, you know, one of the things that I was really impressed about as I studied apologetics, that Christianity really presents a comprehensive case for its claims. You know, it reminds me, not long ago, I was speaking with a bunch of scientists at a faith and science conference, and a university student, I think it was a graduate student, asked, he said, you know, I see that a lot of you rely on science to prove Christianity is true, but the scope of science is limited. And being the non-laboratory scientist there, I said, well, Christianity doesn't just rely on science, as you stated, Brian. It presents a very comprehensive case for its claims. I said, in Christian apologetics, we use reason and we use evidence from various fields of study, science, literature, archaeology, history, geography, and we look at the text, we look at manuscripts, and also our experience. Does it confirm what we experience about the world around us? And he was very interested in that answer. And he said, well, give me some examples. So I know in previous shows, we demonstrated that there is compelling evidence that God exists. You know, we used reason, we used science, we used the evidence. Also, we presented a very compelling case that Jesus was a real historical person who lived a unique and miraculous life, died and resurrected from the dead. And so archaeology, you know, provides historical evidence that confirms that what we have in the Bible is a reliable record of God's activity in the world. And if the Bible is a reliable historical document, then Christianity is indeed true. So as you said, Christianity presents a very comprehensive case for its claims.
Great answer. Well, you know, Pat, going to now reference something you just said a little bit ago, and that is that biblical archaeology is relatively new, you know, in the scope of the sciences. And you recently taught at a Korean conference there in California about various archaeological discoveries, but also a brief overview of the foundations of biblical archaeology. Could you share some of that insight with us? Who are some of the names and people we need to know when we're approaching biblical archaeology?
Yes, like as you stated, biblical archaeology is pretty young. It's a little over 100 years old. People may not realize that. You may say that it started back in the late 1800s with Napoleon, you know, when they were down in Egypt there, found a bunch of these artifacts, and Napoleon brought a archaeological team down there, and they studied a lot of the things that they were finding, and they brought many of these artifacts back home to Europe and put it in the museums there of France. And people in Europe, especially Bible scholars, saw all this stuff and said, hey, wow, look what's down there. And with the invention of the steamship and others, there became a great interest in going to the Holy Land there and digging up many of these archaeological discoveries. And that ignited an excitement. And remember what's going on in Europe at that time. It's the Enlightenment. And liberal thinking now is beginning to dominate many of the European colleges and even seminaries out there. And you have theories coming out like the documentary hypothesis, all right? And we start to have more of a naturalistic view of the Bible, that these miracles really aren't miracles here. They appear to be miracles to these primitive writers, but with modern science and discoveries, we realize they're just natural phenomenon that they took to be miracles. You know, for example, and you still read this, in text, the crossing of the Red Sea with Moses. Well, that was across the Sea of Reeds, which is only about 2 feet deep at low tide. And so there wasn't this miraculous dividing of the ocean there. You know, Hebrews just went across a marsh about 2 feet deep at low tide. And so that's the kind of interpretations we're getting. Well, with all this archaeology, people were Bible scholars were anxious to go down there and demonstrate the historical veracity and integrity of the Bible. And so that's when it really became popular. And really, you know, biblical archaeology was more like treasure hunting. They weren't very careful. They were just going in there and just digging and taking treasure back to Europe. But it wasn't until, you know, maybe the 1920s and 30s that we really began to do archaeological study as an academic, scientific kinds of forensic science here and develop the art of archaeology there. And William Petrie is a great archaeologist there, one of the early founders of biblical archaeology there. Dr. William Albright is considered the father of biblical archaeology there. And they began digging, you know, in the 30s to the 60s and made many discoveries they thought confirmed biblical accounts, especially the Old Testament, of course. And then in the late 60s and 70s, a student of Albright, Kathleen Kenyon, came along. And with the technology that they had developed then, began to really question a lot of the discoveries that were made. The dig she did at Jericho said, wait a minute, Jericho was an abandoned city when Joshua came. It was destroyed in 1500, 100 years before Joshua came. Etel, that people thought was the city of Ai, they said that was destroyed a couple hundred years before Joshua arrived as well. And biblical archaeology went into decline here as we seem to think, well, wait a minute, archaeology is not confirming the Bible as we thought. It's raising a lot of questions and kind of went into retreat until maybe the 90s, you know, with new technology, new archaeologists were coming and they re-examined a lot of Kathleen Kenyon's work and others, discovered she was right in some areas, inaccurate in others. And with the technology we have, biblical archaeology has really come roaring back. And we have made numerous discoveries now, some which I went over at several conferences that we had, some exciting discoveries that really confirm biblical accounts. You know, most of the controversy, as you know, Brian, are, you know, of the Old Testament accounts. And we have some exciting discoveries. At Tal el Hammam, Dr. Stephen Collins has discovered what appears to be, you know, the city of Sodom, and he's got a good case for that. We have evidence now for the Exodus. Many questioned whether the Exodus actually happened. Most archaeologists and Old Testament scholars take that to be a legendary account. Well, we've got some great historical evidence for that. We're finding a lot of evidence for the conquest of Joshua now. And with the new discoveries we're making at Jericho, they're affirming Joshua's account there. And we have numerous discoveries now in the period of the Iron Age, of course, you know, Judges, Kings, the Assyrian and Babylonian conquests of Israel, exciting discoveries like the Dead Sea Scrolls. And so biblical archaeology is growing fast, and we're making some great, very significant discoveries.
Yeah, I love that, Pat. I love the fact, well, maybe love is too strong of a word, but I appreciate the fact that someone as notable as Napoleon was instrumental in jump-starting what we would know as biblical archaeology. But then, of course, the golden age of William F. Albright and William Petrie and Kathleen Kenyon, all of these are some major names. But then we fast forwarded, and you mentioned Steve Collins and other biblical archaeologists who are doing great work since the 1990s. And just kind of a little side plug, you had mentioned a conference and that you do attend conferences. Well, just around the corner is Veritas International University School of Archaeology, ISAB. That's the International Symposium of Archaeology in the Bible. It is around the corner, and it is being held here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And there are some heavy, heavy hitters who are part of this, including Craig Evans, Shimon Gibson, James Hoffmeyer, these are just really big names in biblical archaeology. So I would just encourage our listeners just to go to www.isabq.org, and we could announce that more in a minute. So Pat, as we continue, you've already mentioned some of this, but help our listeners understand some of the terms that are used by archaeologists. You had mentioned previously sherd or pottery. You mentioned a square. You mentioned artifacts. But are there some other common terminology that our listeners should be aware of as we progress through this new series?
Yeah, Brian, you know, here's some terms that really helped me. First, we have schools of archaeology, and they basically fall into two camps that you really need to be aware of: the minimalist and the maximalist. The majority, I think, Brian, you and I might agree, maybe 90% of those in this arena of Near Eastern archaeology or biblical archaeology are minimalist. Minimalist basically does not believe the Bible really has much historical value. In fact, they believe that biblical studies corrupt good archaeology. They believe you should just look at the archaeology and let it speak for itself. Don't come in with a biased lens of trying to look at it through the Old Testament accounts here. And so the minimalists often don't see the Old Testament as of much historical value or very little historical value. And so you have to understand, when you're reading something in a magazine or in a journal, how does this person view the Bible? Does he view it as a historical document or not? You know, those are minimalists. And I remember reading a lot of books on archaeology and how this guy constantly was saying, well, the Bible's not relevant here, or this contradicts the Bible here, or the Bible mentions nothing of this, and really seemed to be critical of the Bible. And he was an archaeologist, and I thought, oh, well, you know, he's an archaeologist, he's got to be right. Well, I didn't realize that there are two camps here. And then the other camp is the maximalist here, and they believe the Bible is of historical value. And here we have a document that helps us understand the discovery that we made here. And so those are the two camps that people should be aware of. And, you know, who are you reading? You're reading a minimalist or a maximalist? And that'll help you understand what you're reading there. And then, Brian, what was very helpful for me is to understand the time periods we're talking about. And the ages you'll hear a lot about, you know, the Chalcolithic age. That's from 6,000 to about 4,000 BC. And then the Bronze Age. The Bronze Age goes from about 3,900 or 4,000 BC to 1,200 BC. And really, the Bronze Age is important because that's when a lot of the action in the Old Testament is happening, you know, during the Bronze Age. There's four distinct periods in the Bronze Age. You know, the early Bronze Age is about 4,000 to 2,500 BC. The intermediate Bronze Age is from about 2,500 to 2,100. Then we have the Middle Bronze Age. That'd be the time of the patriarchs, 2,100 to 1,550 BC. And then the Late Bronze Age, 1,550 to 1,200 BC. That's the time of the Exodus and Joshua and the conquest. And so people should be familiar with those time periods. And then we have the Iron Age, of course, which goes from 1,200, the period of the judges, through the kings, through the exile, to about 332 BC. So those terms, minimalist, maximalist, and understanding the age you're in is tremendously valuable in the study of archaeology.
That's very, very helpful. And I know as I'm learning more about the archaeological process, you know, terms such as minimalist and maximalist and understanding the historical divisions are very, very helpful, particularly for laymen who are wanting to investigate and learn more about biblical archaeology. Pat, let's just conclude with one more question. And this is really just more practical. You know, next week we're going to jump into the top 10 biblical excavations and discoveries. We're going to do one per week. And so it's going to be really exciting to kind of unearth, no pun intended, some of these major discoveries. But I really want to get personal here, and that is, in your studies, how has biblical archaeology strengthened your faith?
Yes, Brian, Christianity is uniquely a historical faith, and so we should expect historical evidence to support the accounts presented in the Bible. As I shared a little bit, when I first heard the gospel message at 17, it was the greatest message I had ever heard, but I was soon discouraged when I took Bible class, you know, from the priest at high school, and he showed me what appeared to be overwhelming evidence that the Bible was not a historical book, but a book of myths, just like the other religious books. And really, it was, you know, it really shook my faith there. But when I got into apologetics, especially archaeology, I discovered that biblical archaeology does not have hundreds of discoveries that confirm people, place, and events of the Bible. It doesn't have thousands of discoveries, but tens of thousands of discoveries that confirm people, places, and events of the Bible. Really, there's no book like it that has so much historical evidence. In fact, archaeologist Randall Price says the discoveries that support biblical accounts are in the hundreds of thousands. He's correct. You know, you just look at things from pottery to manuscripts. I mean, it's in the hundreds of thousands. Compare that to the Book of Mormon that said there were great civilizations that covered North America. How much archaeology do we have for the Book of Mormon? Very little, very little. What about the Quran? Very little evidence. In fact, it's getting to the point where people are questioning, did Muhammad actually exist? And I'm sure you're going to have shows on that with some of the professors there. The writings of the Buddha, of Confucius and others. I mean, how much archaeology and manuscript evidence do we have? Not much. But you compare that to the Bible. How much historical evidence do we have? Well, in the field of archaeology, I mean, you've got hundreds of thousands of discoveries that confirm people, places, and events of the Bible, which shows you the Bible is a historically reliable book. And if the Bible is historically reliable, Christianity is true. I mean, we don't have to show that it is inspired or that it's inerrant. I mean, if it's reliable, which is what the historical evidence shows, then Christianity is true.
Beautiful answer there, Pat. Thank you for that. And it's true that archaeology and apologetics, they kind of go hand in hand. And when we deeply study the archaeological record, be it manuscripts or the archaeological evidence, we're really giving an answer to those who are asking about the reliability of the Bible. So appreciate that, Pat. Well, like we normally do on each episode, we like to end our time by recommending some books for our listeners who want to study this more in depth. Where would you begin, Pat, with someone who, let's just say they are brand new to this field? Where should they start their quest?
Yeah, well, you know, here are a couple books that a great place to start. Of course, the one that we're promoting here, The Popular Handbook of Archaeology and the Bible by the guy people might know, Joseph Holden and Norman Geisler. Another great book that'll really give you a good introduction is by Stephen Collins and that guy again, Joe Holden. He just seems to appear all over the place. The Harvest Handbook of Bible Lands. It's another great place to start. And a couple other good books by Horth and Harold McCrae, Archaeology in the Old Testament and Archaeology in the New Testament. Those are great places to start. And a guy I really like because he's from Hawaii. In fact, he's from the same high school I am, Edwin Yamauchi, who wrote a classic book on biblical archaeology as well. I believe it's called Stones and the Scriptures, by Edwin Yamauchi. So those are some great places to start.
Yeah, Edwin's such a living legend. Thanks for those, Pat. Well, Pat, it was great having you on, and I'm really looking forward to this new series where we unpack the top 10 archaeological discoveries of the Bible.
Yeah, great to be with you, Brian, and I look forward to seeing you at the conference.
Yes, and until then, may the Lord richly bless you.
Today has come to a close. Be sure to join us again here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ. and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number there is 483-0586. Or email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit that subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Once again, log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a great place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukeran.